on the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it fell, and great was its fall. And so it was, when Jesus had ended these sayings, that the people were astonished at his teaching. For he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. Thank you. Let's pray one more time. And I tell you what, Brother Justin, will you stand? I want you to pray. Will you pray for me and just pray for just for our hearts to be open today? Thank you, Lord, for the truth of your word. Thank you, Lord, for the power. Thank you, Lord. So here we find this parable. We see where Jesus speaks of two types of builders. We see where one is wise. We see where one is foolish. We see where one built his house upon a rock. One built his house upon the sand. There's two differences between them, but there's a lot of similarities also. We find where both men were who had heard, they heard the teaching. We see where both had the ability to build. Think about it. They had both had a mission, both had a purpose, both had a desire to build the house, and both of them chose the type of the foundation of which they built their house upon, and then also you'll find where, as you read this story, both encountered storms. Which is true for today, because I want to tell you, storms will come in our lives. A lot of times we think they may blindside us, but storms will come. John 16:33 says, you will have tribulation. You will have tribulation, but we can be of good cheer because, man, he has overcome, and so we can overcome also. We see where in this parable that the rain descends and the flood came. We see where the wind blew and it beat upon the house, and that both of these builders who heard the teaching, who built their houses, both encountered these storms, and both of them were doing a lot of the same thing. But we see where one builder in verse 25 was described as a wise builder, encounters the storm, and his house does not fail because it's founded on the rock. And then the other man, the second man in verse 27, we see where he encounters the storm and his house not only falls, but the Bible says that his great was the fall of his house. Great was the fall of his house. And so there is a lot that these two men have in common, yet we also see where they do a couple things differently, and therefore they have different results. Even both men had heard these teachings, there was a difference in their foundation. It wasn't so much the type of house they built. It wasn't so much the tools that they used. It wasn't so much the place of the tools or the type of house or the design they used or what how many floors or what type of the house. The Bible don't talk about certain details like that of the house, but the fact is that one built his house on a strong foundation, and one built his house on a weak foundation. So it's important to recognize the foundation of the house of where we're building our house on today. Now, I'm not a builder, and I've never physically built a house. You guys that are carpenters in this place know that. Anyone that's known me for a while, trust me, Howard Jones knows beyond a shadow of a doubt that Kevin Reich is not a builder. He knows it. He knows it. He knows that construction, you know, I can carry boards, I can do this, I can do that. But he knows. He knows that. Travis Saffel, Travis knows that you know, I'm just not as experienced as he is when it comes to building, and that's okay. I love the fact that they carry that gift to do that. But you know, I'm not really one of those people that I don't really know. That is something for me that does not come easy. However, I want to say something. I do know this. I may not know how to build and design a house and all this stuff, but I do know that it's important to have the right foundation. When Cindy and I first got married, we moved to Lamar, Missouri, and we bought our very first house, and it was a house that was built in 1928. It was right off of the Lamar Square, and it was a cool-looking house. It really was. We bought it, and this is so crazy, but we bought that dude for $20,000. It was our very first home, and we were like, this is our home, this is the place, you know, this is what we got. It's $20,000, and it's a wonderful house, 1928, had this historical look about it, had just certain things about it. We just liked it, and there was a family in our church that had it, and we bought it, and we were all excited, our first home together as husband and wife, and all this stuff. But one of the things that when we bought this house, we knew it had a few issues, but we didn't quite know some of the things that came along with it. Like the bubble that was in the floor. We noticed it, but we didn't think nothing about it. Like the crack that was in the hallway. We noticed it, but, you know, paint. That's all you do. You paint over that crack. You pretend it's not there. So we bought this house. And as we bought this house, and we loved this little house. It actually had a little bit of history. This house actually had a little bit of history. They actually say that when Harry S. Truman announced his going to run for presidency off of the Lamar Square, because his birthplace was in Lamar, Missouri, they say that there was a very political woman that lived in this house very high up. And she actually had her served a big dinner and stuff. I don't know if that's true, but that's what they told us. It sounded good. It looked like it could be, you know, it could be. So anyway, but it was a cool looking house, and there was a lot of history to this house. When my dad came up and looked at the house, now my dad is a construction builder. My dad could build things. He could fix things. He was one of those guys, okay? And I remember him coming up and him looking and seeing the big bump in the floor in the living room. And I remember him seeing the cracks in the hallway, and he thought it needed a bit of work. Next thing I know, my dad goes out, brings up his Winnebago, parks in our driveway, and he is there for a while, rebuilding, restructuring, redoing our house, because the house had a few issues, okay? The house had a few issues, and so he took some time, and what I thought my dad would, a few nails, you know, a little bit of paint, be there maybe a day or two, turned out to be couple of months. He was there a while. He was there a while, and he was working, and I am thankful that he did that, because what he was doing was he was fixing the foundation of the house. He was fixing the framing of the house. He was fixing the cracks that was there, and he was doing more than just covering those things up. You know what I mean? You know, because the thing is, if you put paint over a crack on a wall, you know what's going to happen? The crack's still there. You just don't see it. You know, you can try to straighten, but if you don't like refunction the framing and things, it still can be off. You know, that's why you have to start with the right foundation and stuff. And so that's what my dad did, and he began to kind of work on that. And as I was thinking about this scripture, and I was thinking about the time of us working on our house, it would have been so easy for me just to go on and ignore the problem. But the fact was, there was a problem. The fact was, there was a problem. And what had to happen for us to get that house in the right shape that it needed to be in was it literally had to be practically tore down and then just kind of restructured. I'll never forget when I came home from work and I walk in and literally the whole bedroom floor is gone. It's history. You could have put a swimming pool in there. And I'll never forget walking through the door and seeing this and seeing some of the things. And, you know, as I was thinking about this story, we can be so guilty of trying to do the same thing in our lives with our spiritual houses sometimes. Sometimes we try to put a little paint and cover up the cracks. Sometimes we don't always want the Holy Spirit to do the work inside of us and begin to tear out some of the pieces that has gotten us in a place to where we're structured wrong. You know what I mean? Sometimes you have to just let the Holy Spirit come in, do that work, tear up, and get back to the foundation and get it redug and get it rebuilt. Do y'all know what I'm saying? Repour that concrete. Come on. Get it set. Get it set to the way it needs to be. And that's what the Lord desires to do. But there's a lot of people that will not surrender and allow the Holy Spirit to just kind of do that and the Lord to do that in their life. Because the fact is this, no matter what you do, you can try to start on the roof. You can try to start doing the walls. You can try to start putting in the windows. The fact is this, you're going to have to eventually do the foundation. And the foundation is where it starts at. That's where it needs to be. So I'm asking you this morning today, what foundation are you building on? Or are you just someone that's just kind of, you know, you're just kind of trying to hide the cracks and hide the situation and straighten out the framing that's going to lean over eventually? Spiritually, I'm talking. Not about your house. I'm talking about you, your spiritual house today. What foundation are you building on this morning? Is the foundation of your life, is it carnality? Is it flesh? Is it self? Is it lust? Is it pride? Is it opinions? Is it your friends? Is it this world system? Or is it on Jesus Christ, the rock of our salvation? Is it on Jesus Christ? Man, we have to allow him to do that. And with that, I want to give you 3 points today. Realize this morning that whenever you are building on the rock, one wise man built his house on the rock. One foolish man built his house on the sand. If you're going to build on the rock, you know what? It's going to take time to do that. So my point one this morning is simply this. Realize that it takes time to build on the house on the right foundation. It takes effort. It takes work. You know, a rock, if you're going to work in rock, I worked at a rock quarry for a while, and you would have to put dynamite in that rock. You'd have to put dynamite and drill and work and blow the rock up and try to angle the rock in the way that it needed it to be. You would have to do that. Sometimes it takes time to build. It takes time to build. And I want you to be encouraged today. You know, because a lot of times if we want to be effective in our communities and if we want to be effective as a church and we want to be effective in our lives and in our families and our children and our workplaces and our neighborhoods, man, we have to build in the right place. We have to put our attention and our efforts and our work into building on the rock, which is Jesus Christ. But I want you to know, it takes effort. You don't casually go into it. It's something that you have to work on every day and make a commitment to do that. I found this and I thought this was an interesting thing. A skyscraper is something that is known as an engineering marvel. And every skyscraper that builds needs to have a foundation with strong enough support. I looked this up, and that's something when I go to the city, I wouldn't want to live there, but when I go to the city, I'm captivated a lot by skyscrapers and by, you know, I love to drive through Dallas. The problem when you're driving through Dallas is you don't see the skyscrapers. You're too busy watching the road. But anyway, maybe it's just me. But here's something I thought was interesting. And I'm not going to say the name, but it's a tower in Dubai. It's known as the tallest tower in the world. It is 2,723 feet tall. But it's 165 feet that goes below to hold that tower up. The Sears Tower in Chicago is literally 1,451 feet tall, and it's said that it goes 100 feet below the ground. I had to check into this because I thought this was an interesting thing because I'm a Missouri boy. The St. Louis Arch, that is 630 feet tall with a foundation that runs literally 60 feet deep. So we see that if you want to uphold the skyscraper and the arch and all these magnificent things that man build, but it has to go deep. The foundation has to go deep. It's something that can't just be on the surface. You know, there's many that we want to build high. We want our ministry and our homes and our families, and we want those things to be our faith and our anointing to soar high. But you realize you got to go deep.
Right.
And one of the ways to go deep, it takes time. The second thing I want to give you, the word helps build that foundation. The faith comes by hearing, Hebrews 10:17, and hearing by the word of God. The word of God is important. Prayer is important. Worship is important. But do you know the Bible, the scripture? It's important. The word of God is important. We find where the wise man and the foolish man, they heard the teaching, and then one went and did. One didn't. One was obedient, he went and did. One didn't. One of the greatest ways to build up your faith is by the word of God.
Right.
Your greatest weapon against the enemy in your life is the word of God.
Yes.
Jesus used the word when he was tempted by the enemy.
Right.
Why do we use the word? Why is the word important? Because it's filled with truth. And John 8 tells us the truth makes us free. Truth builds faith. It releases the light to where darkness has to flee. The word, the Bible says, is sharp, active, and powerful, and it cuts deep within the heart of man and can bring forth transformation, freedom, and deliverance. Let me hear an amen.
Amen.
Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12 says, "For the word of God is living and powerful." In the Greek, it's active. It's effective. "And it's sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit, and of the joints and the marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart." In other words, the word of God goes deep. The word goes deep inside of us. And when the word goes deep inside of us, you know what happens? Deep changes can be made in our lives. Things happen. Transformation takes place when we renew our mind in his word. What happens? Transformation takes place. Our lives become, it's changed. The Bible is the moral compass that distinguishes what's wrong and right in our society. Did you get that? A lot of people saying scripture isn't important today. That's old thinking. That's old belief. That's old. Let me just tell you. I cherish and I'm thankful for the word of God.
Yes, amen.
I really am. Nothing can build your faith like the word of God. And you know what? Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And if he said it, if it's right, then it's right. If it's wrong, it's wrong.
There you go.
You can argue, you can call you thick-headed, whatever. Truth is truth. Truth is truth. So nothing can build up our faith. The moral compass that distinguishes what's wrong and right in our society. Nothing feeds our soul like the word of God. Nothing feeds our spirit man. Nothing brings encouragement to you like the word of God. There's a great importance in getting the word of God in our life and partaking of it daily. You really want to build in the right foundation. This year in 2024, hide the word of God in your heart. Take some time and read the word. Take some time, study the word. Take some time and meditate on the word of God. Bask on the word. You need encouragement? Read the word of God. Feed your spirit man. The psalmist says in Psalms 119:105, he says, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." Psalms 119, verse 11, he says, "Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against God." Their word will open up ways of direction in your life like nothing else. Like nothing else. When we hide it in our heart, man, it's powerful enough to keep sin out of our heart. It's powerful enough for that house to be formed and built and placed and adjusted like it needs to be on the right foundation. Man, his word helps bring stability within your life. It helps bring stability in your life. When the storm comes, you can work the word. Brother Jerry Haynes used to always say this, my pastor, used to always say this, if you work the word will work. There's something about applying the word of God in your life, applying it, believing it, trusting it, standing on it. We need to not only hear the word. James 1:22 says, be ye doers of the word and not hearers only. See, that's the problem that you find with the wise man and the foolish man. One was wise and he heard the word and he did. Right. And the other one heard the word and he didn't. Right. And so we see this. Both builders heard the sayings, the teaching of Jesus, but only one of them did. One of them was obedience. Thank you, Lord. I wrote this down in my notes. Why was the man wise? Why was the man wise? First, he was wise because he was obedient. He was wise because he made right choices. He was wise because he built on the right foundation. Point three, I want to say today. It takes time to build a house on the rock. The word helps to build the right foundation. When we work the word, the third thing I want to give you, respond with godly wisdom, build in the right places. Be a doer of the word. Obedience played a big key factor in this story. Yes. He went and he did. Sometimes the Lord will ask you to do things. You know, he'll require of you. He'll ask you to do things. And sometimes it may seem like a very simple little thing. He told Moses to take up the rod. He told Joshua and the children of Israel, walk around the walls of Jericho. He tells Joshua and the priests as they're crossing the Jordan to put their feet in the water first before it'll separate. He tells Mary and Martha and those that were there in Luke 11 that Lazarus, or in John 11 where it speaks about how Lazarus is dead, but they have to move the stone. They have to move the stone for Lazarus to be brought forth. The wise man acted upon the word, and he started it on a foundation level. Have anyone in this place ever made a bad decision? You ever made a wrong decision, a bad decision? My goodness, the hands really went up there. If we're honest, I think every one of us have at one time or another. In the scripture, it says to be wise is basically having the ability to apply spiritual truth to life's decisions. That's really what Solomon's telling his son in Proverbs when he shares about wisdom and he talks about wisdom and he makes reference to wisdom. To be wise is to have the ability to apply spiritual truth to life's decision. We see the fool. He had the inability to do that. Psalms 14:1 says, a fool says in his heart that there is no God. Wisdom goes beyond information. I know a lot of smart people, a lot of educated people, a lot of brainy people that's just geniuses, but they lack wisdom for a situation. Wisdom goes beyond information. Yes. It's wise to have the ability to apply a spiritual truth to life's decision. One of the things I want to say, and I'm going to close on this. It's very simple today, but I feel like I'm sharing what the Lord wanted me to share. Hannah, are you up to playing the piano? Okay, just go ahead and play. I want to share a scripture. It's from James chapter 1, verse 5. And it simply says this. I'm asking you, where are you building your foundation? Are you being someone that's wise? And if you're not, are you seeking wisdom? Right. James 1, 5, we find where James says this, that if any man lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. Are you someone that applies spiritual truth to your decisions and in your life situations? Are you building a house on the right foundation? We've all made bad decisions, but wisdom goes beyond making a bad decision. In this hour, I really believe we need to be wise. I really believe we need to just be wise. We cannot walk like ostriches with our head in the sand while things are going on around us and be oblivious. We don't have to know every detail of everything, but we need to be aware of our surroundings and what's happening in our nation and what's happening. We need to be wise. There has been times when literally I've been oblivious to certain things in my family, and the Holy Spirit brought it to my attention. And then I needed the gift of wisdom to be activated in me so I could respond and act like I needed to do and deal with that situation. Many of you, I've been praying for wisdom for you in your situation, that you have that spiritually discerning wisdom, that spiritually gift of wisdom activated in you like never before. We, the church, we need to be wise. We need to be wise. I want to build my house on the right foundation. I do. How about you? Thank you, Lord. Hannah today is going to sing this song. It's a song, we're going to learn it. We're going to learn this song. She's going to sing this song. And as she does this, I want to just open up the altars. I want to give you the opportunity to come to the altar and to pray and seek the face of the Lord. And I want to just, let's just pray and seek His face this morning. This is when I was praying, this is what I felt like the Holy Spirit gave me. Many of you, you need to ask for wisdom. Many of you, you need to repent for being foolish. Ask Him to help you build on the right foundation. Many of you, you need to do your part and stop covering the cracks and the framing and all the things spiritually that's kind of lopsided. You need to get in alignment. Does that make sense to you? Does that make sense to what I'm saying? Because this morning when I was praying, I felt the Lord very strongly put these three things on me. Ask for wisdom, repent for being foolish, because sometimes we can be idiots. Come on, y'all. It's a truth. Ask for spiritual truths to be revealed in your situation. Do your part.